Book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 13 through verse 25. Listen now to the word of the Lord. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they of Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. As we listened to the radio and the television this week, and we heard of the devastation that took place in southern Florida and Louisiana, and we heard about the people who were giving of themselves to help their neighbors and their friends or even strangers. But mingled amongst that news forecasting of the good things taking place, I was disturbed to hear of those that were willing to charge $10 for a bag of ice or $20 for a gallon of water. And I began to question, how can this happen in the United States? How can it happen in a place that every time we say the Pledge of Allegiance, we say, under God? Or that we found our birthplace in the Declaration of Independence because we were created by a supreme being with rights and responsibilities? And as if that wasn't enough to disturb me, to make me question where the United States is and where is she going, and what is the Christian church doing in the midst of all this, I came across a number of articles in the paper that spoke about the same downfall of our values and our morals. Today's paper, in the Norwich Bulletin, there was an article about violent teen crime in the decade rose more than 25%. The rate of violent crimes by juveniles in the United States increased by more than 25% in the last decade, according to Federal Bureau of Investigation statistics. It said that violent crimes by people of all ages reached a record high last year of 758 for each 100,000 inhabitants in the United States. That's up 4% from 1990, 24% since 1987, 33% since 1982. Violent crime on the increase, not just in the city, for lower class people, but overall, everybody was involved. Also, last week's paper had an interesting survey taken of 126,000 teenagers. And some of the questions they asked: if you work at a department store and finish a task sooner than expected, what do you do? 25% said they take it easy for about an hour or two, and then asked what to do next. 4% said, well, they relax and they read the magazine for the rest of the day and tell the boss it took them the whole time to do the job. Another question: to get a summer job in a restaurant, would you consider these things dishonest, or would they be okay? And the percentage of those that said no, it wouldn't be dishonest. 27% said it wouldn't be dishonest to give free fries to their friends or free food. 16% said eating as much as you want, even though there was supposed to be a limit on the free food you got. 9% said it wouldn't be dishonest to take home a half gallon of ice cream, pick it up and walk out with it. 9% said it wouldn't be dishonest to borrow 10 $10 or $20 overnight. Says this, another question that was asked at McDonald's, you give the clerk $10 for a $7 tab, you get $4 back. What do you do? 39% said they'd keep the other extra dollar. Question, what? Where have our values gone? Where have our morals gone? As far as cheating in school goes, it says you're blowing a math test, but during a big test you have a clear view of the paper of an A student. What do you do? 29% said they'd copy as many questions or answers as possible. Then it was they asked, well, what if you signed a pledge that said you're on an honor system? You wouldn't do that. And surprisingly, it drops down to 13% said they'd copy as many answers as possible. So there's hope there in the values and the morals, even though they're not where we'd like them to be. And then they asked the final question on the quiz after the kids had answered all these questions. They said, how do you feel about your answers above? 92% were satisfied with what they said. Those, of course, include those that would take the money, that would slough off at work, that would cheat. And yet we claim to be a Christian nation. We claim to know who God is and to give Him the glory for who we are. And yet somehow, looking at the statistics, that's not a true fact. It's not a true picture. Just like we demonstrated in the children's sermon this morning, two objects can't occupy the same place at the same time. Lack of morals and values in God's spirit and God's presence cannot be together hand in hand. It doesn't work that way. So something in our society needs to change. And yet I don't think it just stretches out to our society where we could say, well, you know, we can't do anything about the society. We can't change the world. Look, who am I? I have no power, no wealth, no fame. I can't change the world. So we need to bring it maybe a little bit closer to home. And examine ourselves to see, as Paul says in the book of Galatians, whether God's Spirit is within us. Whether we're walking with the Spirit or are we walking after the flesh. If we examine our lives honestly with one another, can we say we fulfill the walk with the Spirit at all times? Notice what it says here in the fifth chapter of Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. And it doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It's not pick and choose. You can't read through this 22nd verse and say, oh, but I have love and I have joy. Yeah, the peace is a little bit missing. My patience are really short. But I'm gentle and I'm good and I have faith. But I don't like meekness or temperance. We don't have a choice there. We can't pick and choose. It says the fruit of the Spirit, it comes in a bundle. And it comes together. And if our lives don't depict the fruit of the Spirit, then it's time that we begin to look at ourselves and say, well, maybe I can't change the world, but I can change myself. And if I can change myself, maybe I can get somebody else to say, boy, I like what you have. I like who you are. How can I get there? And that person will change. And now you have two people who are changed, and you're about to change somebody else who will change two people. And with next thing you know, the world begins to be different, to behave a little different, to act a little different. The fruits of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh, they don't go together. They can't be together. That's kind of harsh, isn't it? Because all of us have to stop and say, boy, did I blow that this week? Boy, did I mess up? Boy, did I have an opportunity to show forth the Spirit and I use it for my worldly good? As parents, we do that. As siblings, we do that. As mates, we do that. As friends, we do that. And so as I read this, there seems to be a contradiction there that says that you can't have the flesh and you can't have the spirit, but at the same time, if we're honest with one another, we all have to say, but Bill, that doesn't work that way. Bill, I mean, there have been times I've fallen, I've slipped. And that flesh has just come out of nowhere and it just seems to take control and make me be... It changes me and I'm not the spirit person I ought to be. I become a flesh-driven person. How can that be? Is there no hope? I think the difference may be that if you're led by the Spirit lets you know when you make the mistake. Like the survey taken with the students, those that were willing to cheat on their test and to take the $10 home overnight or give their friends a fry or take the ice cream or be as dishonest as they were in cheating and stealing. They said, boy, that's okay. It makes no difference. But when we have the Spirit and He's leading us, when we make those mistakes, when we fall, when we cheat, when we steal, when we lie, when we don't act as we ought to act, the Spirit taps us on the shoulder and says, Bill, maybe you shouldn't have done that. That's what makes us different. That's what makes us change. And you want to know something else? Not only is it the Spirit's responsibility to remind each Christian when he makes a mistake, I think it's the Christian's responsibility to let the world know when they're making a mistake. To speak up. Instead of complaining amongst Christians and saying, well, you know, they shouldn't have taken prayers out of school, or they shouldn't have taken invocation and benedictions out of the graduation ceremonies, or that law in Tennessee where they weren't allowed to hang the Ten Commandments on the walls of the school. And this is from a quote from the justices when they passed the rule that took the Ten Commandments. Per se, they may believe them and follow them. And we may complain to one another about it, and we may say, that isn't right. We're taking God out of the picture, and we can see the result. Wake up, world, and see the results. Not just an increase in violent crime, but in teenagers, but there's an increase in child abuse in our country. There's a disregard for each other. Everyone's out there for themselves. Some of the top courses taught in the United States today is that you're number one. You want to get anywhere? You got to get it yourself. And you got to be number one. One of the things that struck me about the storm that took Florida is the United States is so powerful and mighty and is so sure that their military power is so great that nobody can damage them. Nobody can destroy them. There's no way in one storm destroyed a whole Air Force base. Completely destroyed it. And I just wonder if maybe that isn't God's way of tapping us on the shoulder and saying, remember, I don't care how mighty your army is, how much natural resources you have, how wealthy you are, remember, you're still dependent on me. I'm still in control. His way of tapping us on the shoulder and saying, you're not walking by the Spirit. You're not living up to your testimony. You're not living up to your commitments. Because the flesh and the Spirit cannot occupy the same space at the same time. Walk by the Spirit. And why is it so important that we as a church stand up and let the world know when they make their mistakes, when they're not walking by the Spirit? Because it says in no uncertain terms that those who walk by the flesh will be destroyed. Those who don't listen to what God is saying and don't follow His commandment will be destroyed. Plain and simple. And for decades, we as a church have been afraid to mention that. Because we want to portray God as loving and just having his arms open and say, oh, you live that way? Fine. Oh, you don't want to follow the Ten Commandments? It's fine. Come this way. But if we look at the Scriptures, Old and New Testament alike, when we begin to fall away from God, he begins to judge. And if we look at these lists of the things that are known as of the flesh, it's the United States. Read the statistics. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, divisions, heresies. They're all the things that are in the headlines today. Pick up the paper, study it for a month. I'll guarantee within that month, at least five times, you'll find a mate who shot a mate's lover, girlfriend. That's adultery, and it's causing murders as well as breaking up homes and destroying families. Witchcraft. Look anywhere you want. You'll see where we worship Satan and his power, his might. Half the TV shows, half the movies that have come out in 1992 were dealing with possession and demons, witchcraft, murders, as we said, violent crimes on the increase. Murders on the increase by 9%. Drunkenness. Every day in the paper, someone's destroyed themselves or someone else in a drunk driving accident. It's the United States. And we as a church, we as Christians, we have responsibility to be the conscience that says, listen, we've got to change. We're on a road to destruction. And we're moving there fast. I was amazed, and I can't remember the article, and I can't quote it, but the gist of the article was that in urban cities in the United States, the mortality rate for children is lower than it is in most African nations. They were asking children in the city of Boston in New York the question, how old are you going to be when you die? These were 11 and 12 graders they were asking, and most of the questions, I think the highest percentage, 55%, said they would die before they reached 35 years old. And the sad part was, percentage-wise, they were right. That's in the United States. Because we allowed ourselves to become dependent on self. We've made ourselves out to be number one, and I don't care what happens to anybody else as long as I'm happy. I don't care how I make my money, how I get my power, as long as I'm happy. And it's the church's job, it's the Christian's job to stand up and say, listen, we've got to change. And Paul says the only way we can change that is by the indwelling of God's Spirit. The only way we can do that, according to Paul in Romans, is if we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. I see some of your faith. Oh, well, I can't be a preacher. But you can live a Christian life. It used to be a joke, and it's still one of the best excuses people give for not coming to church, is there are too many hypocrites in there. And you know, it's hard to argue against that. Talk about divisions and strifes. Go to a church. Any church. until we follow the Spirit, we can't speak out there. But until we speak out there, there's no hope for our society. Because I'll guarantee you, the world's not going to tell them, slow down, you're doing it wrong. Because they don't care. It's the church's job to stand up and say, listen, here's what God says. And I've not found His word to fail. And He's always been right. Listen. And as we told in the children's sermon last week, what goes up comes down. A law of gravity. Two, it's a fact. Nobody can break it. Even when they send the satellites to orbit the world, they eventually come back into the atmosphere and either burn or fall to the ground. And just as we can't break the law of gravity, we can't break the law that says that those who do not follow Him will be destroyed. But let's not end on a bleak note. Let's end on a happy note that says, if we follow Him, we have everlasting life. And if we listen to the news reports, there are those who are pouring out their lives to each other in Florida and around the world out of love and compassion. So God hasn't given up completely yet. Our morals haven't completely decayed. They haven't completely disappeared. But how much credit can we take as Christians? Have we spoken up? Have we shown the world what it means to have the Spirit of God? If not, we've failed. If not, we need to take part of the blame. If not, we need to change. Because the flesh and the Spirit cannot occupy the same space at the same time. The flesh and the Spirit cannot occupy the same person at the same time. The flesh and the Spirit can't occupy the same church at the same time. The flesh and the Spirit can't occupy the same nation at the same time. Parts of it. Pieces of it. But I'd like to see the nation know the God that we know. I'd like to live in a nation that was full of peace and long-suffering and patience, where there were no divisions, where we learned to love one another as we love ourselves. Not just in times of disaster or times that we need each other, but always. The challenge this week is to pray that God will fill you with the Spirit so that you can change your small part of the world, that others will look at you and notice a difference and ask what you have that they don't have. That you can go out there and love your neighbor and your friends, all of them. And when I ask you why you do that, say, because I love you, because God loves you and He loves me. That commitment, that challenge is as old as the New Testament itself. For God said, we're the light of the world. We show them their sins. We're the salt of the world. We heal their wounds and their sins. And then He says, go into all the world, teach and preach. If we're not doing that, then we can take credit for a rise in violent crime, the lack of values and morals, the destruction of our country. Gracious Father, we know how much You love us. Lord, we know that when we make a mistake, Your Spirit touches us, reminds us, and we twinge and often repent and change. Help us be the conscience in our society. Help us to do our part in the small corner of the world in which we live to change, to lift up Your word, Your laws, Your statutes, Your commandments. Lift them up, not just in words, by telling others how they ought to live, but showing others it can be done. Fill each one of us in this place, Lord, with your Spirit. Remove the fleshly desires to do the things of the world and fill us with the spiritual desires to do your thing, to follow your word. Give us a love for one another that's unexplainable, Lord. Lord, the rough points that come that rub against each person and personality, remove them by your Spirit as only you can do, that we may truly stand as a beacon in this world, as a light to this world. And Lord, we thank you that you bless this land in which we live so greatly. Lord, give us time to come back to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.